Welcome back. Hi, everyone. So good to be with you. Another day. It's great. Another conversation. It's awesome. I'm totally excited to introduce to you today another Yoga Nidra guide. We're still on the journey because it just came to me that there are so many layers to these conversations and to this type of work that I want to keep going. And so, you know, I said last year that maybe I would stop and mix it up, and I just find these conversations rich. And so today I have Rachel Brownbridge, and I met her through, I think it was Instagram, maybe. I first noticed you on Instagram, and because, you know, I have to just, like, you know, here it is. I would say she's like my soul sister. Honestly, like the words that she says, the images that she uses, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That's not me. Who is that? And so I reached out to her and we've just connected. And I'm so grateful that she agreed to come on the show today. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lane. I'm really excited to be here.
So we do have a little bit of a bad connection. So I hope that the podcast will make it through you guys today, but we're going to dive right in. And I want you, Rachel, to kind of share a little bit about your story and how you found Yoga Nidra.
Well, I don't really need to go back too far, I think, to kind of tell the story of how I found Nidra, but I took a yoga teacher training about 3.5-4 years ago. And in that training, we did a lot more like shadow work than I didn't even know what shadow work was at that time.
Okay. What were you doing at the time? What were you doing? So you weren't a yoga teacher?
No, I wasn't a yoga teacher.
What were you doing?
I had been practicing. I was a ski instructor.
Oh, okay. So you're out on the slopes, living life large. Okay. Now you've jumped into yoga. Okay. Now go forward.
Yeah. I moved to Norway like 5 years ago. And in that transition of moving somewhere with my partner, I found yoga again. Okay. And it was difficult moving somewhere new and I didn't speak the language.
Oh God.
Yoga came into my life and I got really into it very quickly. So after 2 years, I booked myself into a teacher training, more for myself, really, to explore deeper. And I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And I don't think I was on your traditional yoga teacher training because we did a lot of shadow work and inner child work, and it completely blew my mind. Like, it was a healing, basically. Uh-huh. I came away from that and I gave myself a year to like absorb everything I'd learned from the teacher training. And then I was like, I want something more now. Like, I'm yearning for something more. And I was looking in the online world to see what people were offering. Mm-hmm. And there was a teacher coming from LA to Norway in a town that's only an hour away from me. And I live in the middle of nowhere in Norway. And I was just like, hang on a minute. This is so, so odd that someone is coming all that way. Uh-huh. And they were teaching a yoga nidra training. And I started looking into it and I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
This is it. I feel that yoga brings us to a certain place, like, you know, and people get really into yoga and I love yoga for that. Like, we can go on this really long journey with the mat. But I feel like you just said, like, there comes a point where you're dealing with the other stuff, this inner child or the shadow work, where you have to move through it if you're going to evolve.
Totally.
Yeah. And yoga nidra, I can't even speak because it's the magic. It's like the magic that nobody is talking about, right?
It totally
what was your
is.
Experience when you put your body first down for that first yoga nidra? Do you remember it?
I don't think I actually remember the first.
Okay.
But I did start doing it before the training. That uh-huh. was kind of like the, like do it as much as you can.
Uh-huh.
I kind of remember thinking like, oh, I've done something like this before, and just like feeling really good afterwards, and uh-huh. just like knowing that there's something to this. And I was just like, it was almost like my body was saying, you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
And I was just so like, just waiting for the training to start. Cause I was like, I had no idea what was happening. And at that moment, I was really desperately searching for my, like the people that I really needed around me. I was feeling really lonely at that time. So I was really like in this position of like calling in the support I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole yoga nidra training was like, it connected me to my heart, which yeah. meant that I wasn't alone anymore. Mm-hmm. It was more about what I realized was like loneliness is only with yourself. Mm-hmm. But it also connected mm-hmm. me with all these amazing women that I'm still in contact with. And it was such a it just opened me up so much to so much love from myself. And then also having the support from all these amazing women that I met on this trip. It was amazing.
Okay. Ladies, I know you're listening because I know there's so much juice in this conversation, and she just gave like words, wise woman words. Loneliness only is within, right? It only is within ourselves. And when we lay our bodies down, the magic of nidra cracks open the heart. It's like falling in love with yourself mm-hmm. on such a deep level. Like you don't even know it's happening. You know, that's my experience. Like I didn't even know it was happening. Like I woke up that first time and I was like, what just happened? I remember feeling so good. Like I hadn't felt good in years. And then feeling this like, it was better than sex. Like it was just like so delightful. Mm-hmm. So this love, I want to get into this love conversation.
It's good.
because it's so transformative. And I'm the last couple of weeks, my nidras have been all about love and all about extending that love, almost moving into the metta a little bit, metta meditation a little. But really, why do you think that is?
I think when we are able to allow ourselves to really go into the nidra practice, our body kind of knows what needs to be done. So mm-hmm. whatever there is lingering or any healing that needs to be kind of resolved or even just opened, if it's been like so tucked away, it starts to bring itself to the surface. And I think you can have those moments where your whole body is in this response to something that we didn't even know existed within us. It's like something's happening and our body's doing it all without us having to know what is happening. And we come out of it and you know something's happened. Like you said, you know something has changed within you. And it's mm-hmm. it's not something like, oh, so you can't. It's like you know beyond anything else that something has changed, but mm-hmm. you can't like say it with words. It's beyond words.
It is beyond words. So I think I want to go into this idea of creating mm-hmm. a yoga nidra.
Wow.
Right? Because I on Friday, I have a class here in San Francisco every Friday at 10:30. And my students, they show up, and it was a larger class. It was actually, it was a full room and lots of new students. And I said, okay, you guys, what are you dealing with today? Share with me, what do you want to get rid of? And they all sat there. And I'm like, you guys, this is your opportunity. And then one person said, I really want to get rid of this stress. And I was like, oh, okay. Let me take that stress. And then somebody said, I really want to connect. I want to feel that divine presence. I want to be in that download. And I was like, okay. And I said, you know, you guys, give me what you want, because no other yoga nidra teacher is going to sit here and create a practice specifically for you right here and right now. And then they all started giving me words, you know?
Yeah.
So there's something about, I want to know about how you create your practice. Because like for me, I've been doing this a while now, and it kind of like just breathes right through me. How do you create?
Well, I love what you just said about, you know, asking them what they need in that moment. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that has been really coming up for me lately as well. It's like, at the moment, I create nidras when I've gone through something and I have like a realization of the process I went through and what it was actually like attending to, like what the subject was, like the experience I had. And then I'm able to match like the layers of the nidra to kind of describe the process I went through.
Nice.
But what I have really been like feeling that urge to create a nidra in the moment with what is happening right now, mm-hmm. and being really just drawing off the energies of the people in the room, because I feel like that could be so potent and just really, it would be so natural and mm-hmm. so in the moment. I mm-hmm. think it would give people exactly what they need, mm-hmm. but it's quite like to just, I think I will just have to go for it soon, because I know it's like totally possible, but it's like that thought of like just going with it. And then, but I think it's such a beautiful way to do it. And in a way, it's like, I think both are amazing, like to have one written and planned and like come from this beautiful concept mm-hmm. and process you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
But like a real raw, natural in the moment nidra, yeah. I think. Equally has like such a huge, it could just be amazing.
Yeah. I think there's such a difference. I've been to, there's another, I want to call her a master teacher here in San Francisco, and she does the singing bowls and it moves right through her as well. But then there's other teachers that just read off of a script, and I can tell the difference. Mm-hmm. And I can't, like, my body like won't sink into the practice. Have you experienced that where you're just like, oh?
I think the person reading the nidra, whether they've written it or not, they have to understand why something has been written in the nidra. Like, what's the purpose behind it?
Yes.
So, yeah, and like how they use their voice. And I think, you know, we're leading people into this really deep healing state. And I've mm-hmm. had someone said to me before, like, what if this triggers someone's trauma?
Yeah.
And it was such a good question for someone to ask me, because, mm-hmm. well, nidra is kind of there to like open us up, and maybe potentially it brings up in us that are traumatic.
Right.
So we really need to have, if we're guides, we need to have the understanding behind what the process of a nidra is kind of emphasizing, or what it's bringing up for people, or possibly bringing up for them. So it's quite, for me, it's a responsibility. Like I love giving nidra, but mm-hmm. it's because I understand the process that we're like delivering to people.
Yeah.
And I also believe that people will take what they need from nidra, mm-hmm. whether it's like consciously or not. It's like, mm-hmm. I believe if people aren't ready to experience something within them, then they won't.
They won't take it.
Many people sleep, or they don't remember things, or they just have a really relaxing time. And I think the body is cleverer than we think. So a nidra will show up for us in the way that it's meant to. And that's why doing a nidra more than one time, the same one over and over again, you will have a different experience every time because your body, oh, it's unbelievable the amount of times I've done the same nidra and it's completely different every time.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my God. Joy.
Rachel, you just brought up so much. Okay. So you made me think about Richard Miller's work, right? Because we're dealing with trauma and Richard Miller's work goes into PTSD. He's working with vets. He's working with addicts. Right. So this work, the yoga nidra, the practice, there is a methodology, right? There is a formula, but beyond that, there is a tone in which we deliver it. And I feel like there's such a, oh my God, I don't want to, like, it's an opportunity for the guide, right? For us to really know what the heck we're doing. Like we really have to know where we're placing these people and where, like, what they're going through because trauma is there. It's absolutely possible. Like I had a student in my class last night. She's like, my whole shoulder froze up on me. I couldn't move. And it freaked her out, you know? And it's like, yeah, that's going to happen. And then it's going to release. Mm-hmm. So I love like just knowing that, I guess what I want to say is just finding a teacher who knows the work, yeah. Right? And I think it's okay to say to somebody, I don't know if what you feel about this, but would you be like weirded out if somebody said, hey, where'd you train? Who was your teacher? If they were like a student, if a student was like, so do you know what the heck you're doing?
Yeah, I would be like, I would never, like for me, I don't teach anything that I haven't
learned
from someone else, whether it's a training or not. Like I feel like you can learn through like mentorship.
Yeah.
It has to be like, I think really we know when we, how much we know and how much we can give to people. There's a point where we're like, no, well, I feel out of my comfort zone now, or I don't feel like I'm speaking from a place that's like enough to give that information.
Yeah.
I think we just have to be honest with ourselves that when we are out of our own depths or when we are actually capable of giving really good information to people, like not being afraid of it. But I do think sometimes you do need to go through trainings and you need to have really good mentors that help you understand what it is you're doing.
Mentorship is so key. Mm-hmm. Totally agree with you. The other thing that you said, which was really elegantly put, is the body knows. Mm-hmm. The body knows how to release and to heal. The body knows. And I know that this is some of the work that you do is you do a lot of women's healing. So how have you incorporated this practice into your work?
I think with Nidra, it's that the opposite of what everyone wants to do when they want to fix something. The idea that they want to fix themselves or they want to kind of stop feeling a certain way or they want to change something about themselves or their experience. And it's with Nidra, you're doing nothing. And you're lying down. It's like the most nurturing thing you can give yourself. Mm-hmm. And especially for a woman.
Yeah.
To lie down and even giving yourself the time. I remember thinking that like 30 to 40 minutes was almost like selfish to go lie down for that long in the middle of the day or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that, I'm quite good at giving myself self-care. Like I'm one of those people that's pretty good at it. So for people that don't give themselves much self-care, like 30 or 40 minutes could seem really kind of like, whoa, that's like,
it's too much.
Like I can't do that. For whatever reason, there's something telling them, you know, I can't give that to myself. So even getting people into that like thought that they're allowed to give themselves that much time to lie down, and that's not a waste of time. Nidra gives you so much within those 20 to 40 minutes. Your whole day can change. Your whole life can change in a nidra. Yes. Like you don't know what could happen. So nidra is super healing, and there's so, like, there is just so many layers to it beyond just giving your body the rest that it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And really change your beliefs and have moments where you just feel so connected to yourself that your answers to whatever you needed, they come through you, that they're the answers you've always wanted to hear, but they're coming from you. They're not coming from someone else.
Okay. Hello. Did anybody hear that? The answers are coming from yourself. But you actually, the thing that I want to get into is this idea of changing your beliefs. What has been one of the beliefs that's changed within you?
Wow.
Yeah, let's go there.
Oh. That's a big question. I think my beliefs around my self-worth have changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of self-trust, a lot of self-trust. Because yeah. I feel like there's a difference with trusting yourself within like privacy when you're alone, like trusting your thoughts and everything. But if you're going to trust yourself, you really want to be able to do it to the whole world. Like show that you trust yourself to everyone and not be afraid to show that. And that is really scary. And it takes a lot of self-belief and self-love. That's like the whole heart opening. You need to feel what self-love is, that you have that capacity, and the trust is really hard to get, or not get, but it's like to really feel that you can and that it's worth a risk to trust yourself.
Beautiful. That is so beautifully stated. Yeah, that inner belief and trusting it is everything. Mm-hmm. And we get that through the Sankalpa, right? And creating that Sankalpa. Yeah. And I know that, does your Sankalpa change?
Well, I have one that just sticks with me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I kind of go a bit rogue and I just pick one for the day. Yeah. But then I always have like the other one that's like a solid one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just feel quite like in tune with what's going on in the moment. So. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. A really good episode to listen to is with Tanis Fishman. If you want to go back to that episode and listen, we'd get into Sankalpa and setting the intention and why that is so important. So I'm just going to make that little comment here because I love that you just said you go rogue, because it is. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that one today. No. It's just where I'm at. No, I love it. It's so good. Okay. So you have this deep healing. You do all kinds of healing work. So you do the yoga nidra. Do you do breath work too?
No, I don't do like the breath work, but I love working with breath. I find it's like, how do you describe that? But yeah, I love working with breath and stuff. And then I do Reiki.
Okay. You do Reiki.
Thai yoga massage. So yeah.
Wow. So you're all over the body. You're all over the body and in the body.
Yeah. I think there's just so many, entry points. I don't know. That sounds a little bit weird, but there's like, not everyone responds in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're no longer a ski instructor, or are you?
I go it, like when they need me, I will go. Cause it's still, I love teaching people to ski. It's just such an enjoyable job.
That's cool.
So right now I'm like, it's the school holidays. So I am teaching right now.
Oh, fun.
I haven't taught for a few months. So I was like, it's actually been like really fun because I bring all my knowledge of the body and when I teach skiing, and also the mental side of it, when people, a lot of fear comes up in skiing. So it's really interesting. See how the skills and the tools I have from the yoga and everything kind of translates into anything you're teaching someone. Right. So,
and you have a retreat coming up.
Yeah. today. I do, yeah.
You have a retreat coming up and you're going to use all of your healing modalities in this retreat. I want to hear about this. I'm very intrigued with retreats and forming a retreat and what that looks like. Is it just going to be yoga nidra? I mean, that's enough.
Yeah. One day I will just do a yoga nidra retreat for sure.
Yeah.
But this one is going to be like all my kind of, I want to say favorite, but the ones that the key things that have really helped me in my healing journey. Mm-hmm. And it's a healing and yoga retreat. And I emphasize putting the healing first because there will be yoga, but it's going to be like as an assist to the healing process. I will incorporate Reiki and the Thai yoga massage. Like people will learn how to give each other some small parts of the massage. It's just a very like gathering women to experience something that is outside of their daily lives and to really get this moment that connects with the earth. The place where we're going to be in Portugal, Gravito, is a sanctuary, and they have even noticed themselves like forming this place as a healing center for women to reconnect with themselves.
Oh my God, I love
so
it.
That's like one of the elements, is to bring women back into this really like basic and very nurturing environment, and so they don't feel that kind of attachment to the kind of harsh reality that we often are living in. I want that to be not present in this retreat. I want that to feel that they can let go and feel held themselves. Mm-hmm. Women are often like the ones, we are the ones that support everyone in our community. So for us to have that opportunity to have other people holding us and the nature being the main like container, womb space, as you could say, is like, it will be unbelievable.
Oh my God, it sounds delightful.
Yeah, and there will be nidra every day. That's the plan, to have nidra every day. At different times as well. I want people to experience it at different times of the day.
Right. Yeah, I think it's so important for women to take this time out, especially in our time now, right? Like we're so bombarded by technology and the limited time that we have. Like we don't have enough time every day to do everything. So being able to extract ourselves and then immerse ourselves into this beautiful natural setting is, oh my God, sounds totally divine. Like I'm like all in on that one. So you guys go check out this healing retreat that Rachel's putting on, because it's, I could imagine it's going to be pretty mystical too.
I like to, so the thing with me is like, I really just want things to be real.
Yeah.
So whether it feels mystical or not, it's going to feel real. Like I don't like to leave people feeling like they can't connect with the, or they can't resonate with what's happening. I want people to experience things for themselves. So it's more of an opportunity for people to reconnect with who they are and have that opportunity to just really feel into who they are. And through all the tools and the practices we will do, it's just an enlightening kind of process. And women.
Oh, good. Oh my God. When is it?
It's the 2nd to the 8th of September. Okay. And it's in
Portugal. Yeah. Of 2020.
Of 2020, yeah.
2020. Okay. So, you know, check this out, you ladies. This is something that you might want to consider putting on your calendar.
Yeah, the early bird is at the end of May, the 30th of May. So there's still time for you to. And I'm offering all the women that come, they get 2 90-minute mentoring sessions with me. So they'll get one before the retreat so we can get to know each other and what's going on in your life. And then we will also have one after the retreat. So that those moments when you return from like a retreat or a training, you can often feel like this kind of like elevation, and then you like are back into your normal life. And yeah, those are the moments for me where I've always needed extra support. So you will be speaking with me before and after. Yeah.
So good. Rachel, I have loved our conversation. I could talk to you all day. There's so many things. So many similarities. That's one of the things I love about Yoga Nidra is that the people that are drawn to this practice, we're just cool. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I don't want to be like, my heart just fills every time I speak to a guide, because we're doing the work. We're here sharing this beautiful practice. So thank you for that. Did I lose you?
Thank you so much. It's been such a fun, fun experience.
Yeah. People are going to check you out over at yoursacredlight.com, right? And yeah, Instagram is yoursacredlight as well. Anywhere else you want them to reach out to you? I think you're good.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, it keeps breaking up. I'm like, yeah. Well, what's she saying? It's
okay. All right, you guys. Rachel, thank you again for being with me.
Thank you so much, Lane. It's been so much fun.
May you find something bright, something light, and something so delicious that you may be your best self today. My friend, take good care. Make sure to download the app, put it on your phone, make it happen, and rest your body. Until next time.